Do you want more energy, better sleep, and better health? Who wouldn't? Get a free Scalar Light no obligation 15-day trial at scalarlight.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Kotowska and I will be your host. This is UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of studies, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, and fitness fads. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most importantly, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercise that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! Today's show topic is body positivity, modeling, and social media, the path from shame to pride. The importance of body positivity is gaining more and more exposure every day. The increase of body positivity campaigns in social media, modeling, and entertainment industry has influenced more consumers to support brands, designers, companies that embrace people to accept themselves in the way they are. Body positive movement created awareness of not accepting society beauty standards. It is a fact that brands, designers, model agencies should be more aware of it and initiate the example in work, campaigns, and advertisements. This subject has a significant meaning, especially for fashion and beauty brands whose products are strongly related to appearance. Today, we will talk about the top model organization, which is the leading model search awards and fashion event in the proven track record of discovering new model talent, launching career and create dreams. Many of the finalists and winners have signed with agencies, worked as professional models, have been published internationally, traveled internationally, and walked at London Fashion Week. In addition to the fabulous experience of being a finalist, Top Model has raised over £130,000 for various charities since it began in 2008. In addition to the main UK-wide search and event, Top Model has official international qualifying events in South Africa, Australia, India, Estonia, Bahamas, Malta, Nepal, Zimbabwe, and Uganda, and accepts independent applications from all over the countries. Our guest today is Jeffrey Cox, an executive producer and show director of Top Model UK, who has worked with multitude of international and British brands. Jeff founded the Education Partnership Initiative program and spearheaded the charity fundraising for both the Top Model Worldwide Organization and Fashion London, raising over £250,000. Jeffrey, welcome to the show. So let me start. Welcome and thank you so much for accepting the invitation on my behalf on UK Health Radio. It's a pleasure to have you and speaking to you about important subject of modeling in the industry and body positivity and all those different connected elements on that.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Thank you so much. So, Jeff, if you can tell us more about yourself, what do you do? What is actually Top Model? What is the what are you doing?
Well, I'm a show producer. I have been for over 30 years. I've been in the fashion industry for just over 20 years. And 12 years ago, we launched a brand called Top Model because there was a real lack of opportunity for people to try and break down the barriers through the traditional agency method to try and get into the industry. So we started Top Model as a model search initially, and it's now one of the largest awards events, certainly in the UK, and we have 11 international events as well, licensed all across the world. And it's an annual event that goes on for around 9 months, and it culminates in an awards day of shows and fashion designers as well.
So what's the whole agenda behind the Top Model?
It's more to discover new talent and give people a platform from every background and every kind of race, religion or diversity that maybe wouldn't have usually had an opportunity. And we raise a lot of money for charity as well as part of it. We've raised just over £250,000 since we launched. And we now also have our own charitable foundation as well.
That's amazing. You know, the reason I'm asking because I was personally a part of Top Model back home, but this one looked a little different. It had more the American version, which is the reality show. So sometimes people ask me, okay, you're a part of Top Model, but how does that work? Is that the reality show? Why is it just only show? So if you can make the difference between these two.
Well, I just describe it as we are the live event version of the TV show. So basically, it's an actual runway show that people can buy tickets to come and see. It's not done in a photographic studio. It's done as an event with lots of different awards for different categories across all the different age groups. So it's actually a live version rather than actually a TV studio version.
Right. Yeah, and you know, like we discussed it before, you're very proud to say that you're open to all, pretty much all age groups, ethnicity, sizes. So can you tell us more about the body positivity and how do you see that through the Top Model?
Well, the difficulty in the fashion industry still, and it's been something that I've been disappointed with my whole career, is that there is still sometimes agencies or designers that insist on going for a specific type of model that they want to use to promote their brand. And that is their choice. But there's a lot of opportunities for curvier girls, petite girls, and older women and men as well, with clients who actually want somebody who looks good, but also has a natural look, healthy, but curves as well. So there's different kinds of opportunities commercially for different people. And it's no longer a stereotyped industry the way it always used to be.
Mm-hmm. And how would you define the body positivity in your own words?
I think you can't be ruled by what the scales say. I think it's very important to be healthy. If you're naturally got curves, then you work with your body as it is and you make sure you're fit and you look after yourself and you eat well. And naturally, if you're doing those things, then your body will be in the best condition it can be. We all have good days and bad days. We all have good months and bad months. But at the end of the day, if you're focused, then you can look and feel good in your own natural body form without having to follow some sort of social media stereotype where you've got to look a certain way.
So have you had any sort of comments or hateful comments or different comments about your choices of participants? You know, I'm talking about the models and their sizes, ethnicity. Did you come across with any negativity towards it?
Yes, definitely. The interesting thing is it's a very emotive subject because sometimes people want girls or boys to be really slim or very particular muscular. Others don't want them to be that way. So whichever part of the camp you're coming from, you're going to get criticism. So I think all you can do is really follow what you want to do. We've had girls in the show that have worn the hijab, and obviously we respect their identity and we respect their cultural differences and the fact that, you know, we would never ask them to wear something that goes against their cultural beliefs. And in the same way, we've got other girls who don't have those restrictions and are really confident in other ways, and so we put them with certain designers that will work for them. So I just think that it's also interesting that the couture designers we work with, a lot of them actually want curves because they are selling to what maybe the press or people would refer to as real women. They're not selling to girls that are 5'10" and size 6 and size 8. So they actually want models that actually fit with the market that they are trying to promote their brand to.
Mm-hmm. And how about Instagram or any social medias? Could you share any reactions, comments to the age, to the ethnicity, to the sizes that you have, because, you know, they see, I don't know, even the title winners, and they, some people might comment, oh, why that person won, she's this and that, and doesn't really follow the typical modeling, you know, requirements. Could you share any particular example or what the Instagram, social media, Twitter is saying about it?
I mean, to be honest, I think because of the type of brand we are, and we are quite friendly and we are quite upfront about these things, that we haven't really attracted a huge amount of negativity directly. I would be more inclined to say that possibly some of the girls or the boys might have had comments or specific comments made to them through their social media, but we certainly haven't really seen that. You know, we tend to put a very positive look on the situation, and we think that those sort of people are, they're just trolling, they're very negative, and really it's for them to deal with their own issues about having somebody who looks good but maybe isn't what they consider to be a particular pigeonhole.
Right. So what would be your advice to people, participants, when they see negative comments, how to react, how to overcome that, I would say the stress that accompany, you know, such a industry as modeling or even entertainment industry? Do you have any ideas or any tips?
I mean, you have to take professional advice from people that you trust, but also you've got to believe in what you're doing. And if somebody has genuinely says that they've got faith in you or they feel you've got potential, then they've got potential in you for the reason that you are the person you are and you look the way you do. And as I said at the beginning of the interview, you know, there's lots of clients and businesses and agencies that are looking for girls who are diverse, who are curvier, and you no longer have to fit in that pigeonhole. And to be honest, if somebody is giving somebody negative comments on that level, then it's generally about them and how they feel about either themselves or life than it is actually about you. So I think you should empower yourself. If somebody wants to be negative, then use it as a positive force to actually drive yourself on and prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how the process of you choosing participants of your organization, choosing them, how does it look like for anyone who is listening and would like to be a part of your top model?
Well, anyone can apply online through the website www.topmodel.co.uk, internationally and in the UK, because we have a worldwide category. And they just fill in an application form, send it through. We don't even ask for pictures at the first stage. We just ask for a general description and general information. And then we'll follow that up asking for either an audition video or some natural photographs if we like the sound of them. And then we've got a panel of people that usually once a week, maybe a couple of times a week in busy periods, go through all the applications and decide who we're going to offer a place to. Now, that's what's been happening over the last 2 years. Prior to that, we were having live auditions. But of course, we haven't been able to do that. And so we've decided to do it completely through video and images and through online. And it's actually worked really well.
Right. Okay. So tell us more about the charity. It's a very important thing that you guys do, because obviously we have fun and we do beautiful things with you, but the beautiful aspect is the charity work.
Yeah, the Top Model Foundation, we set that up as a non-profit. It's run entirely by volunteers, and we don't actually give money to other charities or organizations. We make sure we are actually buying things that are needed to support either a cause or individuals or a certain set of circumstances. We provide goodie bags of toys and things to children's wards. We also support a couple of children's hospices with providing comfort toys and things for the parents for end of life care, which obviously sounds very tragic, but if we can bring in a little bit of happiness to those families at that time, then obviously we want to do that. We had 200 goodie bags that went out across Scotland during lockdown to children that are directly impacted by cancer and leukemia. And we've got a lot of other things planned as well. We've worked for a couple of special needs schools. We gave 50 leather footballs from Nike to a couple of special needs schools to help them out with their children's development. So there's lots of different ways that we are assigning the funds and where we're spending it. And we are very, very specific about what we want to do. The fact that we don't want to give money to organizations just towards their running costs, which is a lot of the requests we get are from people just to give the money. to help run their charity, but that's not what we're about. We're actually about directly helping those that need it, the end user, and that's expanding all the time because obviously the need is greater than ever.
Mm-hmm. Did you realize the bigger need during the lockdown than normally, or did you have been more busy with packaging and all those goodies?
Well, we were doing the goodie bags, like I said, to the hospital wards and things like that. But the difficulty during lockdown is the fact it was very difficult for us to work with organisations because a lot of them closed down. So they are our direct link to the people that often need our support. So that actually created a lot of difficulties of its own. But as we're approaching the end of lockdown, obviously we're going to be a lot more focused on distributing the money that's raised and making sure as many people benefit from the efforts of our finalists and those people that support the charity.
Mm-hmm. So how the lockdown affected Top Model competition? How did it affect it?
Well, applications for 2021 have actually been greater than ever, which is quite astonishing, really, because maybe people have been through lockdown. They think, you know what, I've wanted to do this. I'm now going to go for it. Maybe it's given them a reason to think I want to try this now because this is how life can change so quickly. But with regards to the 2020 event, lockdown happened 9 days before the finals in March last year. So the event was sold out. The show was ready to go. We've since moved it 4 times. So 4 times it's been postponed because of COVID when we've moved dates. But now it's finally happening in June and we can get the finalists back together. And we've started meeting up with them again for fittings and rehearsals. And they're a great bunch, really great bunch. They've been very, very patient and I'm really looking forward to doing the shows.
How would you define the Top Model competition? What would be your advices for participants?
Just go for it. Because, as I say, we have curvy models. We have models of all ethnicities. We have the usual look of girls of all ages as well. So I think it's, you don't know till you try. There's no point writing yourself off before you've even had a go. So I would say if you think you'd like to try, you want to be considered, you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So that's what it is. I think just people should apply, should have a go and see where it takes them.
And what with people or teenagers, girls who are more shy and they have potential, they're beautiful, but the personality is not very much out there, like outgoing. So how those people can find that strength in themselves to try something like the models?
Yeah, the one thing they have to appreciate as well is they're not the only one. There is lots of other people that come through Top Model who are maybe shy or looking for confidence boost. And we're very proud that a lot of previous winners and finalists, they enjoy the Top Model experience and they actually come back and work with us and they mentor the new finalists and support them. So there's lots of advice, guidance. We give coaching across the board. It's all included as part of being a finalist. There's no charges for any of that. We do coaching days. So there's a lot of outlets there for people to be able to work with us, work with the team, work with former participants and winners to help build their confidence. And we've shown and we've seen in the past that that has actually happened. We get letters after the shows from parents saying, my daughter is really shy. She used to be bullied. Now she's done Top Model. She's really confident. And the bullies don't bother her anymore because she's got this new inner strength that she's able to handle those situations. So that obviously makes us very proud when we hear things like that. But for me, self-belief is a very difficult thing. A lot of us have had very difficult mental times over the last 18 months, including myself. It's impacted us as a family. And I think now a lot of people more than ever, I think, are sympathetic towards the needs of those who maybe are finding it difficult socially or mentally or emotionally. And I think the support is there to be able to help everyone. And at Top Model, we're very focused on that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned that you still deal with designers, companies that are not necessarily keen on different type of bodies. How such a powerful organization like Top Models deal with that negativity and that lack of support? Do you guys contact those people? Do you try to pursue different ideas of how the modeling should look like? What is your overview about it?
Well, just by having different types of girls and curvier girls or fitness models, whatever, as part of our stable, we are showing that we are not going to be browbeaten by people who think it has to be a certain way. And to be quite honest, if there are designers or people who don't like the way we're doing things because we're diverse, then we just won't work with them. That there's plenty of people that want to work with us. We have no shortage of designers, and we are very much empowered by that, and we support those designers that have a similar ethos to us.
Mm-hmm. But what's your thought of those couture designers that only want certain type of models? Because, you know, I've been in this industry for a while, and my body type is sometimes rejected a lot because I am more athletic. I'm not that skinny. So all the time I do hear the comments that I'm not necessarily their type, and that been going on for London Fashion Week or in general, any castings I do hear I'm bigger than what they expect. And that's the, I would say, 70% out of 100. So I can relate to that. Still can hear all the times those rejection in terms of how do I look like, my body type. I do not take that personally, because I accepted it. I know how my body looks like, and I'm just moving forward. But I know for many girls that would be a big negative, you know, impact on their career.
Well, it's difficult, because the situation is, you say that 70% of the time you probably hear that. Well, I would say that 20 years ago, it's 95% of the time. So that in itself is progress. But I think from a point of view of what you have to understand is people deal with the fashion industry the way they think about their sports teams. It is a business. And if people want a certain type of look of boy or girl to promote their brand, that's entirely up to them. It's not for us to force our views on them. All it is for us to promote a more diverse range for those designers that want a more diverse range. There are plenty of people who are serving the industry who fit a certain stereotype, and there are lots of others that don't. And if a designer wants a particular type of girl or boy in their show, then that is entirely their choice. Mm-hmm. You can't force them to do otherwise. What I don't want to see people doing is encouraging already very slim or skinny 14-year-olds to lose more weight. I see that far too often, and I hate it. And that is one of my big bugbears. It really is. But there are plenty of designers and opportunities. And as you say, like any job, it's a tough place. And if you get rejected, you brush yourself off and you go for the next one, just as you've done. So you're actually quite a good role model for that, because you have seen it firsthand. But as you say, you don't take it personally, and it's not personal. That's the other thing everybody has to remember. It's not personal. It's just what they are looking for their product.
So for aspiring models, mainly, I would say, teenagers, how would you advise them to deal with rejection, lack of acceptance, and all those stereotypes? Because, you know, even mentioning that, being a part of Top Model back home, the way they dealt with me, I was a grown woman, so I could easily disconnect personally from their choices, decisions, and treatment. But I, from a psychological point of view, I could not imagine this to happen to someone who is a teenager, because that could really break their spirit. And also, I found it to be very unethical behavior. So how would you say for those young people, very young girls who don't have yet self-confidence, self-esteem, they still in the building stage, how to deal with rejection and that lack of acceptance and maybe toughness and roughness of this industry?
Well, not everybody is naturally tough to start with, and it's something you develop. You know, the first time in the school playground, if someone insults you for some reason, often you'll cry or you might get upset and it'll hurt you. But you learn to deal with those issues. And I'm absolutely with you. It's unethical. It's absolutely wrong. I've seen it throughout my career, where the way that some girls and boys are spoken to is absolutely appalling. And all I can do is push Top Model and keep doing what we're doing by creating a different kind of attitude, hopefully, towards those girls. And you would have seen, you've said that you've done Top Model and you've been involved in events. There is a diverse range and different people fit different categories. And I think that's really important. And it's a tough industry. People can't shy away from it being a tough industry. But and there will be rejections. I mean, Lizzie Elliott, who won Top Model in 2010, she went on to be one of our runway coaches. And the first 9 agencies that she saw completely rejected her out of hand. The 10th one took her on and she ended up having a glittering career. And she was published in Vogue and she's walked at London Fashion Week over 12 times. And she's now retired. But she's a prime example of somebody who was getting knocks. And I'm afraid that in current society, everybody thinks that sometimes they're entitled to things and they're not. Not everything is for you. I can't be a model. I don't look like a model. I like to think I'm a good show producer. So that's what I do. Not everybody could be a show producer. It's just how the world works, unfortunately, and not everybody can do it. And a lot of people can. And I think they just have to, you know, if you get rejected, you get rejected. You have to pick yourself up, dust yourself down and get back in there to prove them wrong.
So where people can find you if they want to connect with you, ask you any questions or questions about Top Models, if you could give us your maybe socials, website, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, Top Model is on topmodel.co.uk. That's the website address, but that's also the Instagram handle. And I'm on Instagram as Jeff Cox Official, Jeff with a G. And I'm more than happy if somebody wants to get in touch and ask any questions.
Right. So are you looking forward to the finals that we have in 2 weeks? Well, less than 2 weeks.
I am so excited, Natalia.
Can you give us any sneak peek of what's going to happen for people who want to join? I mean, do we have any places still to have any new guests or not really?
Well, we're very, very pleased that the shows are going ahead, but we preempted the fact that maybe the government wouldn't open up. And so we had already met with the venue to talk about how we could reorganize the show slightly to make sure we were within all of the various COVID restrictions, which we've done. We're really pleased about. We're able to put people in their family groups with social distancing. We're able to have, we've got a lovely venue at the Royal Horse Guards Hotel on Whitehall. It's a lovely big space. So we've reduced the numbers, but we've split the two shows that originally were happening into 3. But exactly the same kind of shows, same razzmatazz, same, you know, drama, designers, the models wearing their own self-styled looks as well, judges, sound and light. You know, it's still going to be an amazing show. So we split it into 3 rather than 2. But I'm just really pleased that we're able to actually make it happen finally.
Exactly. So anything you would like to say at the end for anyone who is listening and thinking, oh, maybe modeling is for me or not? Any few words of wisdom from you?
Well, we've got an advice page on our website, topmodel.co.uk. It's new model advice. And it talks about all the pitfalls and scams. There are many scams. The biggest scam is people trying to sell you portfolios. You do not need a portfolio to get into modeling. You just need some nice, natural photographs that you can send to people. And if they genuinely like you, then they will look at you at that point. So avoid the portfolio scam. And if you are genuinely interested, apply to Top Model at topmodel.co.uk and we'll let you know what we think.
Perfect. Let's finish on that note. But we have a little bit of, we have an element in our show that is called the fad and the fact. So I would like to ask you as a professional, few things that you think in modeling world either is a fad or a fact. And if you could maybe give us a little bit of words of explanation. Are you ready for this?
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll have a go.
Let's do it. So first one. Your height is the only thing that matters in modeling. Fad or a fact?
Fad.
Fad. Why is that?
Because we have a commercial category with girls that are under 5'9", 5'8", and they get work for fitness, petite ranges, underwear, beachwear, all sorts of things.
Perfect. So anyone who is shorter, guys, do not think it's not for you. However, I was rejected many times because I am 5'8", 1.73 meters. And because of those 2 centimeters, I still, when I was back home, I was rejected to do any bigger jobs in other countries. So that idea back then was the little bit of,
I hope it's changing. I certainly hope it's changing.
So make sure, guys, you do apply. If you have a dream, go for it. Next one. Modeling is all glitz, glamour, and nothing else. Fad or a fact?
That is a complete fad.
Why? Is it not all what we see on Instagram and all? Oh.
It's the people that are successful have worked really hard. Don't think for one moment. On the surface, it looks very glitz and glamour, and there is that element to it, and that part of it is amazing. But there's a lot of people that work extremely hard behind the scenes to make that happen. It's, you know, some people say to me, oh, how hard can it be to be a model? They just walk up and down. You know, the coaching, the training, the traveling, the lack of sleep, the constantly going into hair and makeup, the sitting around bored in a dressing gown for hours at a time. It's quite wearing. Yes, it can be a good life, and yes, it's a very exciting life for a lot of people, but don't come into it if you're not prepared to work hard, because it won't come easy.
Long hours, being tired, dealing with people moods, judgment on daily basis. If you
put daily basis, absolutely.
Or here or there. I remember when I was working for Asus, and I lost too much of weight and I couldn't be their model because the measurements weren't right. And they were measuring your wrist, your thighs, your bicep, trust everything. I was just shocked. So it's a constant judgment. You got to be, guys, prepared for that. All right, next one. Being pretty will get you everywhere in modeling. Fad or a fact?
No, that's a fad. Because I'll tell you why, and it's very simple, is that I know you assume that somebody that's coming into modeling will look good, irrespective of what their curves are or who they are. You assume they look good because people want somebody who looks good to promote their brand, whatever it may be. But if you've got a personality that stinks and you can't get on with people and you rub people up the wrong way, that is the quickest way to get yourself out the door. So there's no point looking good unless you can actually be amiable, be nice to people. And when you're in a bad mood or if you had a bad day, leave it at home. Don't take it to work with you. Your attitude is so important.
I think being humble as well, willing to learn and never think you're irreplaceable is important too. Because, you know, if you won't do something or you will show your bad side, there's 100 million people behind you that will do that.
Yep, I agree. It's all attitude.
Yeah. And the last one. Modeling industry is just a fluff or a business. Fad or a fact?
It's a business, absolutely. It's a business through and through. There are people that just play at it, but it's a business at the end of the day. And anyone that's in the industry does it for a job. It is fun and it does look glitzy. But you have to have your business head on and you have to think about it as a business. It's a commercial entity that generates billions of dollars, pounds a year, and will always do so.
Yeah, we're all self-employed. So you have to treat it as your business. Your face is your mark, your brand. So you should have that business mindset when you enter entertainment industry modeling.
So I think that's 4 fads out of 4, isn't it? There weren't any facts in there.
There were not. Sometimes we do have some facts, but can you tell us any facts about modeling then?
It's hard work.
We know. It's hard work.
It's hard work. Yeah.
It's rewarding when it is rewarding, but when it kicks absolutely. You hard, it does kick you hard too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only glamorous thing that I'm doing at the moment is this interview with you. So that's a nice little break from my usual routine of producing the show.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. I think that was very, very important and an on point interview. I hope everyone got something for themselves. If they have more questions, they can always contact you. They can contact me. So we will provide all the information where to find us. And perfect. Thank you for accepting the invitation. I will see you personally very soon. I cannot wait because it's been a long time in the making. Yeah, excited.
Long time.
Too long.
Looking forward to it. You take care.
Okay. Have a lovely day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to Jeffrey for this great interview. And now, as usual, it's time for our workout. Since today's subject is all about the looking good, feeling good, and body positivity, let's do a little bit more of cardio and some HIIT work. Okay, so team, today we again have three exercises. This time is all about high pace, high intensity, cardio, and some fat burn. How does that sound? I hope you're excited. So listen up. We're going to work for 50 seconds, team, and we have only 10 seconds rest. So yes, we're increasing our work time and we're cutting a little bit our rest time, but that's okay, we can do it. We're going to have 3 rounds of the same 3 exercises. This time we have only 30 seconds break in between rounds. Wow, okay. We're getting there, team. We're getting there. So listen up. Our first exercise will be star jumps. Everyone knows how to do a star jumps. The little key points that I would like you to take on board is being very light on your feet. So try not to place your heels on the floor. Use both your toes, soft for your knees, for your joints. We do not want to feel any impact on our joints, okay? So try to stay as light on your feet as you can. Slightly bend your arms and go as fast as you can for 50 seconds straight. Then we're moving to exercise number 2, which is squat jump forward and run backwards. So you're going to your deep squat position, you're jumping forward like a frog jump as far as you can, and then you're quickly running backwards, and you repeat the same exercise for 50 seconds. Your thighs should feel on fire. And the final one, very last one, team, we're going to do high knees. Again, please be light on your feet, heels off the floor, ball of your feet, and run. Those knees goes as high towards your chest as possible. Please do not have dead arms, dead hands. Use your arms with you. So think like you're actually running in a park, on the road, and you're using your arms. Whew, okay. How does that feel, team? Pure cardio, pure fat burn, you should feel pretty sweaty. After those 3 exercises, take a 30 seconds break and you're going to do round number 2 and round number 3. Yes, team, how are we doing? Please make sure you tag me in your workout. Please send me your version of your workout. If you have any additional questions or any new questions, please visit my Instagram and DM me fitnesswithnk. I will upload for you those exercises on my Instagram, so make sure you check it out. Good luck, team, and I see you next time. Body positivity is a movement which aims to denounce the social influences and construction of body norms, and instead promotes self-love and acceptance of bodies of any shape, size, or appearance, including rolls, dimples, cellulite, acne, hairy body, fat body, thin bodies, different skin colors, you name it. There is much research conducted about the connection between the beauty standards perceived on social media, in modeling and entertainment industry, and young women's and men's body image. Research shows that these beauty standards can lead to low body satisfaction and even eating disorders. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any additional questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. make sure you visit my website www.nataliakotowska.com for more information. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.